A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed, all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh, too, will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.' My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured him forth, as you see and hear." The word of the Lord. of reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially, according to each one's works, conduct yourselves with reverence during this time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. He was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped looking downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to him, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astonished us. And they were at the tomb early in the morning, but did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave them impression that he was going on further. But they ask him, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they sent out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found to gather together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised, and he appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Blessed indeed. And so we hear the story from Emmaus. If we go to daily mass, we've already heard this story. But this story, again, I talk about it every parish mission I give on the second night. Because here, what Jesus, and again, it's interesting that later on we hear, "Peace be with you," and in John's gospel, "Peace be with you." But here Jesus calls them slow and stupid, huh? And that's just not nice. But again, to call someone slow in the modern language is stupid. Anyway, here's Jesus, and he's meeting with these two people, and they're upset because they find that he's dead, but he's right with them. Now, you'd think it'd be a little nice with them and say, no, here I am. No. So, again, when we make Jesus the la-la, we read the gospel here and we think, oh, he wasn't so la-la. But here's the first thing Jesus does, one of the first things Jesus does in the gospel of Luke after his resurrection. He says mass, right? The first part, when he's walking with them, he breaks open the scriptures for them, and then he explains them, which is the liturgy of the word. And then he sits down with them, and when he sits down with them, he takes the bread, it's the Eucharistic words, he breaks it and distributes it to them. So here is the liturgy of the Eucharist. And then he's made known to them when he vanishes from their sight, and Jesus is telling us the same thing. If you want me to stay with you, it's not enough to sit there and listen to a great homily, you know, or not so great a homily. Someone came and saw me this week and says, "Father, we used to at least have another chance to listen to somebody else, but now all we got is you." So, or not a great homily, whatever it is, what you think, what I preach every week. All you got is me. That is true. But whatever it is, it's not enough for Jesus to stay with us. For Jesus to stay with us, we need the Eucharist. We need the breaking of the bread. So no matter what, the God of the universe, when people leave the church and he says, "I wasn't being fed," it's because they didn't have faith. They're fed, you're fed every week with God himself. But there's two things I want us to focus on in the reality of this. The first thing is, do we really want Jesus to stay with us? Huh? Now, at first blush, we go, "Of course." But, you know, on our DME retreat, we have a lot of plays. And one of the plays we used to use a lot on Saturday night after the peace talk was the story where there's this young person praying in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But he wants to leave him there because he wants to sin, or she wants to sin. So every time they go and they go to sin, Jesus comes out and starts traveling with them. And he goes, "Ah, you stay in the box." And so he goes and goes back to the box. And then the person goes to sin, and then Jesus is right, "I told you to stay in the box." And again, Jesus goes and stays in the box like a little dog. And then the person goes to sin again. And then he says, "I told you to stay in the box." And this time he takes him back to the box and he nails him to it, like nailing him to the cross. "I want you to stay there, not here." So do we really want Jesus to stay with us? Or do we want to keep him in our box when we're sinning? You know, keep him in there, keep him away. You know, just don't stay. Come with me, Lord. Stay here. That way I'll come visit you every once in a while, once a week or whatever, but you stay there. Or do we want Jesus to stay with us always, every moment, that the reality is he lives inside of us. He always stays with us. But do we invite him to stay with us every moment of every day? Second, do we truly come to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread? Last night, we had confirmation, and a lot of our kids, we had like 17 kids got confirmed last night at Cathedral. We had the largest number by God's grace. But while I'm there, and I got to celebrate, of course, with the bishop, and I'm listening to the gospel, and I just stopped in the middle of consecration as the bishop was doing consecration. Of course, I was praying along, and I thought, how often do I not recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread? And I'm a priest. And partly because of me, because I am saying Mass, I got to make sure I'm doing all the things I need to do, that sometimes I get caught up in the mechanics of the Mass, or the structure of the Mass, or the ritual of the Mass, that I don't recognize Jesus in the midst of the Mass. And so last night, as I was with him, I just said, Lord, help me to always recognize you. Have you ever been to Mass, went through the Mass, and realized you didn't recognize Jesus? Truly recognize him, that he's really, really, really present here, and that you and I really, really, really get to receive him here? What a fantastic reality if we truly recognize Jesus. But a couple things are necessary for us to do that. The first thing is we got to have the faith of that reality, right? So whenever you and I go to communion, like you'll come today and you say amen, as you all know with me, that amen means much more than I do believe. It means I would stake my life that God is truly present in the most blessed sacrament. So again, would you die professing that Jesus Christ is truly present in the most blessed sacrament? If not, then what you and I say every time we go to communion is a lie. We say amen, meaning I would stake my life that Jesus is truly present in the most blessed sacrament. Do I have the faith that really believes that? And if the answer in your heart of hearts is, no, I don't believe that, well, good, get to know where you're at. So then you can ask Jesus, Jesus, increase my faith. Help me to believe that I can cry out with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God, every time you and I go to Mass. The second thing we got to do to really recognize Jesus is to spend time with him. How do you fall in love with anybody? You spend time with them. How do you get to know them? You spend time with them. That's why it's so important that we are so blessed to have perpetual adoration here at our parish, that you and I can spend time with Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was talking to my shrink the other day, and he was talking to someone, it wasn't one of his people, but he said, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were going through a hard time, and he said, and they knew they could go to St. Joe's, Bread of Life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be with Jesus. Do you make yourself available knowing that you can always be here and be with Jesus every moment of every day? Do you spend time with Jesus beyond the Mass? And then the last thing I think we got to do to really recognize Jesus is we got to take a breath before we go to communion. Just recenter ourselves and look and make that act of faith that St. Thomas did, to say every time you and I come up for communion, my Lord and my God, to make the true act, that faith, that Jesus, you're here. And I'm not going to just go through the motions today. I'm not just going to go say amen. I'm not just going to go up and receive you and go back to my pew and can't wait to get out of here. But I'm going to just be with you, stay with you, and recognize the greatest gift you gave me, that you, the God the universe cannot contain, makes yourself present in the most blessed sacrament. And then you feed yourself to me, that I might live forever. Don't ever take that moment for granted. Don't ever just go to the motions. God gives his life for you and me today, so that we might live forever. And he does stay with us in the most blessed sacrament. And we need to recognize him and believe in him. You got it? You get it? You're going to do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. I'm sorry.